All right, Rabbi Osai, good morning. Good morning. Let us begin. Azchus Baruch Hashem to be able to continue our limud together now in the year ahead. So begin by thanking all of our sponsors. So thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Tishrei. Shari and Sarah Wolanski for dedicating all the Shem and Joshuals this month. And the Azchus of Rav Forshlema for their grandson, Zachariah Dov, Ben Parol Shira, Shandy and Avram Kelman in memory of their beloved parents, and in the Azchus of all those who need a Refuah Shlema, Dr. Linda Weinberg, in loving memory of her husband, Paul Weinberg, Peretz, Moshe ben Avram, David, Leah's soul as a schos for Refuah Shleima for her daughter, Ilana Bas Esther, and for all those in need of Yeshua. So you obtain on the merit of our Talmud Torah. All those who need a Refuah should have one together with Kol Chole Yisrael. And with that, let us begin. And of course, it goes without saying that we dedicate our learning in this schos of Achinu B'nei Yisrael. And Achinu B'nei Yisrael in this context, of course, literally is Achinu B'nei Yisrael, that we daven for a continued Refuah Shleima for the thousands who have been injured in the horrible and overwhelming attacks. We daven for the Refuah Shleima for all the men, women, and children. We daven for Achinu B'nei Yisrael, the holy soldiers of the IDF, who are literally bringing the war to our enemies. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give them incredible Siyata Dishmaya, incredible success, an incredible Hatzlacha, B'chol Ma'asei Yedem, and they should be Zoche Emirat Hashem to come back to their families, B'shalom. We daven for, again, it's overwhelming every time we say it, we daven for those taken hostage. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should just provide them with incredible Siyata Dishmaya as well, and allow them, Emirat Hashem, to come back to their families, B'karov. And of course, to the over 700 precious neshamas taken from us, we daven that their neshamas should have an aliyah, that the Ribbono Shel Olam should bring them close to the Kisei HaKavod, and somehow, someway, that their families should find it nechama in the years ahead. And most of all, we daven and we learn that the Shbaruch Hu should just give us what has proven to be the most elusive bracha for our people over the last thousands of years, which is the bracha of Shalom. No one loves Shalom and no one desires Shalom more than Klal Yisrael. The Ribbono Shel Olam has a plan for how he runs his world. And halavai, just these challenging and overwhelming times should pave the way for an eternal, eternal time of Shalom for all of Klal Yisrael Bekarov. So with that, let us begin. We have a lot to do, Tim. Sorry, my thoughts are a little bit disjointed, but okay, Meretz Hashem, we're going to continue. So today's daf is Nun Zayin 57, and we are picking up. One second. Not sure why this. Chavon Zoom, you hear me okay? Okay, I don't know why this is not working. Okay, you know what? I'm going to do this. Okay, so I will say, so we are picking up Meretz Hashem today on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph at the two dots. Be'egla Rufa. So if you remember again, I don't know, just the microphone doesn't seem to be working on OBS. It's not. So, Egla Arufa. Egla Arufa. So, remember again, the Mishnah explained that Halacha Lamaisa, if a man tries to go ahead and be Mekadishim with an Egla Arufa, ultimately, again, it doesn't work. Remember again, Egla Arufa is when you find someone who is murdered in between two cities and it's not immediately clear ultimately who went ahead and, or what happened to that individual. So, the halacha is that the elders of the closest city go ahead and bring a calf, and there's a whole process. They take it down, we're going to talk about this just a little bit, to a Nachal Isan, to a dry riverbed. They decapitate the calf there. So again, the Mishnah told us that if a man tries to go ahead and maybe kash him with an egla rufa, ultimately, again, it doesn't work. So we know, from where do we know this from? Amri debei Rabbi Yanai, kipara ksiv bei bekachim. Because the Torah uses the same notion of kapara, of atonement by Egla Arufa, as it does by kachim. And just as we established that you can't use kachim, you can't use sacrificial items, ultimately, again, or sanctified items for that matter, to go ahead and effect kiddushin, so you can't use Egla Arufa as well. You can't use Egla Arufa as well. So Gemara goes right there, Tzipori Metzora. So I'll just mention, it probably feels like a little bit surreal, right? Sometimes, like, okay, so we're learning Kim Mekadoshim with the Egla Rufa. You know, like this, not that the sky is falling, the sky is not falling, Baruch Hashem, but like it feels like totally overwhelming. And you wonder to yourself, like, okay, Egla Rufa, Mekadoshim with Egla Rufa, and Klal Yisrael is at war. You know, how do you, how do you, how do you, how do you, Just so remember, it's important to keep in mind that everyone has a mission. Everyone has a mission, right? So in Eretz Yisrael, you know, our brothers and sisters, the soldiers of the IDF, they have their mission, and the residents of Eretz Yisrael have their mission, and we have a mission also. We have a mission also. And we're 6,000 miles away, but our mission is to try to provide as much spiritual support and material support as well as we can for Klal Yisrael. So although it may sound germane or may sound, you know, like a little bit detached, like being mekhalshon with Egla Arufa, you know, in the midst of a war of Klal Yisrael, at the end of the day, this is our mission. And our job is to remain on mission. Our job is to remain on task. Our mission is to continue to do whatever we can do in the world of Ruchnius and in the world of Gashmius for Klal Yisrael. So though these topics might seem like a little bit, this is what we're doing now, the answer is yes. This is our mission. This is our mission. This is the mission we do, not just for ourselves and not just for our families, but for all of Klal Yisrael each and every morning. And all of us need incredible siyata d'shmaya and chizuk to remain on task, to remain on mission, and to do our part for Klal Yisrael. So also we go right there. Tzipori Mitzora. So he came to Mekadosh Rumi with Tzipori Mitzora. So remember again, it was Tzipori Mitzora. So a person has Saras. So they have a job. I'm sorry. Okay. I think I'm giving up technology. I'm just going to teach you. Remember the old days when you came to Shir? We just taught Gemara. Too confusing. I'm sorry, everyone's Zoom. I love seeing all of you, but I don't know. For some reason, it must be the Satan this morning trying to share what we're doing. Tzipori Mitzora. So remember, again, we'll say, so the person goes ahead and has Saras. Part of the process, ultimately, again, for purification from Saras is a bringing of a bird pair. One of the birds is slaughtered, and the other, ultimately, again, the other is dipped in the blood, sprinkled, and then set free. So the Gemara says, if you try to make Hashem with Tzipori Mitzora, it doesn't work. Minolan. From where do we know this? The Tana de Be Rabbi Yishmael. Ne'amar machshir u'mechaper mibifnim, v'ne'amar machshir u'mechaper mibachutz. So we'll say they taught in the Shiva of Rabbi Yishmael. It says machshir and mechaper ultimately in the Mikdash, and machshir and mechaper outside of the basement. Now we'll say, what's the difference between a machshir and a mechaper? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says over here, so first of all, Rashi says, Tzipori Mitzora, machshirei b'chutz. Hein shehu shahari chutz liir naasis mitzvasa ulahachshir samitzora lavo b'machna. Shabbos says, so this is actually very interesting. In the world of karbanos, in the world of karbanos, there's two different concepts. There's something called a machshir. A machshir is something that enables you to do something else, versus a mechaper, which is a karban which allows for atonement. Two different things. So for example, by Mitzora, a Mitzora is not permitted to come into Yerushalayim. When he goes in, he brings the bird pairs, that allows him to come into the city. That's called a machshir. As opposed to, let's say, I commit an Avera, I have to bring a carbon chatas or a carbon asham, that's a mechaper. That ultimately, again, provides for atonement. Two different types of sacrificial rites. So watch this. So the Gemara says as follows. It says, Machshir mechaper mibifnim. That will say, ultimately, again, there's a type of carbon that's a machshir that is brought inside the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi's example of this is the asham of the Mitzora, and it's mechaper mibifnim. What's an example of mechaper in the Beis HaMikdash? All carbonos. So it says, machshir mechaper in the Beis HaMikdash, v'ne'amar machshir u'mechaper mibichotz, and ultimately, again, it says, machshir mechaper. So what's an example of a mechaper that's done outside of the Beis HaMikdash? An example of something that affects atonement, but it's done outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Egla Rufa, you know, kind of is something that affects atonement, but remember again, Egla Rufa is dafka done outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's a mechaper, and then a machshir that is done outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the example of that is the birds of the Mitzora. Ma machshir mechaper amr mevifnim, just like machshir and mechaper that are done inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Ma machshir mechaper amr mevifnim, oseh ba machshir ki mechaper. The machshir is treated just like the mechaper. Af machshir u mechaper amr b'chutz, Also, about machsher mechaper. So, Rabbi said the machsher and the mechaper that are done outside the base of mikdash. Remember again, the example of the mechaper outside, done outside the base of mikdash is what? Egla rufa. And the machshir done outside of the base of mikdash are the birds of the mitzora. So, the Gemara's limud is like this. Just like we see that the machshir and mechaper that are done in the mikdash are treated the same, so to the machshir and the mechaper done outside of the base of mikdash are treated the same as well. Now, we'll say, what does that mean for our purposes? What that means for our purposes is the same way you can't use an egla arufa to go ahead and be mekadesh a woman. Now, again, let's take a step back. Why can't you use an egla arufa to mekadesh a woman? Ultimately, because egla arufa is compared to kachim. And just like kachim can't be used for kiddushin, so to egla arufa can't be used for kiddushin. Now, we'll say, now what did we just do? Now, Egla Rufa is a mechaper done outside of the mikdash, machshir done outside of the base of mikdash, which are birds of the mitzora, are compared to mechaper done outside of the base of mikdash. And therefore, just as the mechaper, i.e., Egla Rufa, can't be used for kiddushin, so too the birds of mitzora can't be used to affect kiddushin as well. That's the limud. Say itmar. So we'll say now another interesting gemara. So itmar tziparim mitzorim e'emas asurim. But say, interesting case here. From what point in time do mitzora birds become asur? Now, I'll say, so once again, remember, the mitzora birds, two birds, one slaughtered, the second one is actually dipped in the blood of the slaughtered one, but ultimately, again, is set free. Now the Gemara asks, from what point, or at what point, do the mitzora birds become prohibited? That's the shayla. At what point in time? So remember, let's take a step back. In essence, why can't you use tzipori mitzora to affect kiddushin? Why not? They're off limits. They're unusable. Now again, we just went through the limud. How do we know they're unusable? So essentially, the way we know they're unusable is because they're compared to egla rufa. How do we? And just like egla rufa can't be used, tzipori mitzora can't be used. How do we know that egla rufa can't be used? Because egla rufa, ultimately, again, it says kapara, like kachim. And just like kachim can't be used, egla rufa can't be used. Fine, so that's the limud. The shaila now is, from what point in time, or at what point in time, do the birds of mitzora become set aside in general for non-use? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mishah Shechita. Rabbi Yochanan says, from the time that they are slaughtered. Now, obviously, only one of them is slaughtered, right? But it means, from the time that one of them is slaughtered, both of them become set aside for non-use. Reish Lakish and Reish Lakish says, no, Mishas Lakicha, from the moment you take them. In other words, from the moment you take them, essentially, and designate them as Tzipori Mitzora, ultimately they're set aside for non-use. So let's analyze. Rabbi Yochanan Mishas Shechita. Rabbi Yochanan says, the birds become prohibited from the time of Shechita, Shechita Da'asrola. Because we'll say, it's Shechita that effectively prohibits them. Right? After all, Shechita is, so to speak, the avoda, right? That's the time that they are used ultimately for this rite. Reish Lakish learns from Shaslakicha. It's actually very interesting. Reish Lakish learns from Shaslakicha. Reish Lakish learns ultimately from the time you take the karbanos, from the time you take the birds. Me'egla Arufa. Ultimately, again, we learn this out from Egla Arufa. Ma'egla Arufa. I just want to point out, you know, it's just so dramatic. Every day of Yom Tov, one of the most beautiful things that we saw over the course of Chol HaMoed was how the daf went ahead and the daf always connected to what was happening, right? We saw Eretz Yisrael Gemaras, which is so beautiful. But see, it's heartbreaking. One of the most overwhelming images that came out from Eretz Yisrael from this horrible attack is, the bodies just lying around. You saw the images from Sderot. You saw the images from the concert that these beautiful young people were attacked at. I was saying, well, remember Egla Rufa? What's Egla Rufa? What's Egla Rufa? Egla Rufa is you find a body. You find a Jew who was killed. And you don't know who did it. See, here, we don't know the individual who did it, but we know it's incredible. It's almost like the Gemara, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us support in times of beauty, like we saw in Chol HaMoed, and in times of difficulty as well. Just how many Egla Rufas? How many dead? How many beautiful, precious souls have we lost? The Gemara always reaches out to us in some way. The Baruch Hashem always reaches out to us in some way, just letting us know that He's here, that He's with us, both in times of Simcha and times of Tzara. So Reish Lakish says, "Mishas l'kicha me'egla arufa, ma egla arufa mechaim." But it just says the egla arufa ultimately again, egla arufa becomes prohibited from life. In other words, the moment you take the egla arufa, we don't really take, we'll call it designate. The moment that you designate the egla arufa, ultimately again, the egla arufa is prohibited. Af tzipore mitzora mechaim. So to the birds. The birds, right? So again, we'll say this is the connection. Now, remember again, take a step back. Because there's a whole flow here. From where do we establish the connection of egla arufa to tzipore mitzora? So remember again, we'll say, what's their connection? Their sister concepts. What are the sister concepts? Machshir mechaper. Machshir mechaper. So remember again, so egla arufa is a mechaper, it's a tones. Tziporim, the birds of the Mitzora, are a machshir. What links them? They're the machshir mechaper duo mibachutz, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the connection between those two things. So therefore, again, Reish Lakish will say as follows. He learns that from Egla Arufa. Just like Egla Arufa, ultimately, again, is prohibited from the time that it's designated, Af Tzipore Mitzora Mechayim. So the Tzipore Mitzora, ultimately, again, are also become prohibited from the time that they are designated. The Egla Arufa Gufa Me'emasai. Now, one second. It's interesting. Egla Arufa itself, when does it become prohibited? I once heard when Egla Arufa becomes prohibited, but ultimately I forgot. I will say, a Gemara like this is validating on a variety of levels, right? First of all, how often do we find it frustrating in life? I know I learned it. I know I saw it, but I forgot. So the good news is, Rabbi Yanai also learned and forgot things. So Baruch Hashem, good, we're in good company. So Gvul Shamati Ba Vishachachti. I heard that there was a border. I heard that there was a gvul, right? I heard that halacha. It's actually interesting lashon of gvul. Gvul literally means like a border, right? I heard that there was like a cutoff, right? I know that there's a cutoff at which point egla arufa becomes prohibited. V'shachachti, but I don't remember what it was. V'naspin chavar yalomar. Then my friends came along and said yiridas lenachal. See, I will say, it's a beautiful Gemara, because what this also tells you is the power of surrounding yourself with a good chevra. See, Rabbi Yanai says, I forgot what the halacha was, but the good news is, my chevra was there with me. And my chevra reminded me ultimately again about what I forgot. When does the egla rufa become prohibited? Yeridasa lenachal eson hiyo sarta. It's interesting. It's the time when you take the egla rufa down to the dry riverbed, because remember, that's where the calf is decapitated. It's when you take it down to the dry riverbed, that's ultimately, again, when it becomes prohibited. That's when it becomes prohibited. So the Gemara says, one second. Ima egla rufa mishas l'kicha lo misra. So if that's the case, egla rufa is not prohibited from the moment that you designate it, right? It's not, as we'll say, if you go to the market to buy an egla rufa, right, to go and use, it's not prohibited when you purchase it. We just said it's only prohibited when you take it down to the dry riverbed. Af tzipori mitzor nami mishas l'kicha lo misri. So we'll say, remember again, so this whole thing Reish Lakish was trying to build up, just like egla rufa is prohibited mishas l'kicha, so too tzipori mitzor are prohibited from mishas l'kicha, but it's not true. It's not true. Remember again, egla arufa is prohibited when? From the time that it's taken down to the dry riverbed, not from shas l'kicha. So to the birds, it shouldn't be prohibited from shas l'kicha as well. To which the Gemara says, no. Hachi hashtahasam, islay gvul achrina, hachami islay gvul achrina. We'll say, here's the difference. The difference is, by egla arufa, there's another gvul. In other words, there's another point in the process that makes sense to say then now this item is prohibited. So because there's another point, right, there's another stage is the better statement. There's another stage in this process. By the Tzipar Mitzora, Moshe said, there's two stages. What are the two stages? Designation, that's Lakicha, and Shechita. So if you're not going to go with Shechita, by definition, you're going to go with designation. Okay, very interesting. Eisir, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan raised the kasha from Reish Lakish. Instead, as follows, called Tzipor Torah Tochel. We're actually going to talk about this more later on. Pasuk says, you're allowed to eat any kosher bird. What does this come to include? The rabbos as a mushlachas. So mushlachas. So I'll say, this is actually very interesting. Remember, as we said before, for the Mitzorah, you're taking two birds. One of them you shecht, and what do you do with the other one? You set it free. Rabbi said, what happens if someone traps the freed bird? Salach l'maisa, that bird is kosher. Right? Again, you're using a kosher bird. Salach l'maisa, you're allowed to eat it. So therefore, when the pasuk says, "Kol tzipar tahora tochelu," that go ahead and eat any kosher tzipar that comes to include the mishulachos, that comes to include the bird that was set free. V'zasher lo tochlu mehem. Also, when the pasuk says, this you should not eat of them. L'rabos es hashchuta. That refers to the bird that was shechted. Right? Even though the bird was shechted, so to speak, you're not allowed to eat the mitzora bird. Let's go back for a second. So remember, this is Rabbi Yochanan asking Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish, if you're right that the mitzora bird becomes prohibited already from the time that it was designated, right, then ultimately, again, la'achar shechita mibayi, do you need another pasuk to teach you that it's prohibited once it was shechted? Of course not, because it was already prohibited from the time it was designated. To which the Gemara says, "Mal d'temo, what would you have thought? Midi d'havi akachim. I would have thought that maybe the bird was just like other kachim. How so? D'michayim asiri. Because Rabbi said, just like other kachim, other sacrificial animals, when they're alive, they're prohibited. Va'asi shchitu machshir lu. So Rabbi says something very interesting. What happens to a typical sacrificial animal, right? When you designate it as a sacrificial animal, what happens? It's prohibited. And then once you shecht it, what occurs? Suddenly, again, it becomes permitted. Again, depending on the carbon, will determine who. But lamaise, it becomes permitted. So I would have thought that the bird, Reish Lakish responds, I would have thought that the bird is just like that. Kamash malon is not. Kamash malon, that the bird remains prohibited even after shechita. Okay, Shabbos says, so just once again, just keep your eye on the ball over here. This is just a fundamental machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Everyone is agreeing that the mitzora birds. Oh, so remember again, how do we get here? We got here because the Mishnah told me I can't be Mekadesh a woman with the pair of Mitzora birds, right? That's how I got here. Where do I know that from? Because ultimately, again, Mitzora birds compared to Egla Arufa, right? So that's what I know. Now we're trying to figure out, okay, at what point in time do Mitzora birds become prohibited? So I have Rabbi Yochanan saying from the time that they're shechted, and Reish Lakish saying from the time that they are designated or taken, so to speak. So I'm going to say, so now we're just the backing for between Abayin Rav. Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. So today's another kasha, shacht of an imtzas trefa. So what's the interesting case? Let's say again, so same case, bird pair, right? So you go ahead and you take the pair of birds. You take the pair of birds, and what happens? You shecht it, and it turns out that one of them is a trefa. Now, the Gemara is operating under the assumption over here that one of the ways in which an animal becomes a trefa is it can become a trefa during shechita. So for example, if instead of cutting the simanim, you tear them, right? There are different ways in which you could render an animal a trefa through shechita. So that's the assumption we'll see while we're talking about it. So let's say the animal, right, the bird becomes a trefa while being slaughtered. Well, it's talocha. Yikach zog lishnia, farishon lemutaras ba'ana. So we'll say, so you don't have to bring a totally new pair. What do? We'll call it bird number two, which was going to be the one that was going to be released. So that one is fine. You just have to bring a replacement shechita bird. Right? Replacement bird for shechita. So the Gemara said, now if at the end of the day, the bird ultimately again, I'm sorry, v'harishona mutaras bano. And now the bird that was a trefa, is muter bano. So you can't eat it, but you could sell it, right? You could feed it to your animals. So one second. If Reish Lakish, if you are right, that the bird is prohibited from the time that it's designated, so then even if it turned out that it was a trefa because of shechita, why should it be permitted by Anah? Right? It was already Aster from the time that it was designated. To which the Gemara said, Amrlei, Reish Lakish sons, no. Hachamai askinon, kigam sheninseis trefa bivnei me'eha. The animal wasn't made a trefa through shechita, but say rather what happened? When you cut open the bird, you found that it was a trefa like it's in its intestines. In other words, it had a pre-existing trefa condition. Now, we'll say, what happens when it has a pre-existing trefa condition? Delochal aloh kidusha klal. I will say, here's what's interesting. When you have a pre-existing trefa condition, then what happens is the designation as a sacrificial bird never devolves upon it to begin with. So we'll say, so that's the chap over here. So Reish Lakish will say, according to Reish Lakish, in a normal circumstance, if you shecht the bird and it turns out to be a trefa, that bird is still asr ba'ana. You have to bring a replacement bird. But ultimately, again, that bird is asr ba'ana. The case over here, where the Braisa says that if you shech the bird and it's a trefa, the bird is mutter ba'ana, you can get benefit from it, is a case where you found a pre-existing trefa condition, right? Literally in the intestines. So in other words, this animal was a trefa from the beginning. If it was a trefa from the beginning, the designation would never devolved upon the animal. If the designation never devolved, that's why ultimately, again, it remains permitted by Arna, for Arna. Incredible. So Eisvei Shachta Shloba Eizova Shloba Eiz Erez V'Shloba Shmiya Tolas. So this is an interesting case. We know that when you shecht the Mitzora bird, I will say the halacha is there's a whole bunch of ingredients that go into the purification process over here, right? So you have ultimately again Eizov. Eizov is hyssop. You have Eitz Erez, a piece of cedar wood, and Tolas, Shni Tolas, a piece of crimson wool, red wool. I want to say this whole thing is mixed together, right? And then ultimately, again, the bird is dipped, the bird is used for sprinkling. Fine. So I want to say, Solomaisa, so the idea over here is when you shecht the Mitzora bird, all of these, and of course water as well, all of these items are supposed to be prepared before you. If you go ahead and you shecht the animal, and ultimately, again, these items were not prepared, so then the process is invalid. It's actually fascinating. The process is only valid if all of the ingredients are prepared in front of you. Now, we'll say, now if you think about it, it's actually quite amazing, because the Musar Haskil is, if you want to be successful in something in life, you have to have a process planned out. It doesn't mean that you won't pivot, and it doesn't mean you won't change the process. But so often in life, what ends up happening is we get an idea or we get inspired to do something, we start, and then we fall and we fail. Why? Why? It's not because of a lack of resolve. It's not because of a lack of commitment. It's often because we actually didn't create a process. If you want to be successful for anything in life, you have to create a process. You have to create a system. You have to place out in front of you all of the things you need in order to be successful. Again, sometimes you have to recreate the process. Sometimes you have to go ahead and totally demolish the process, put a new process in place. Sometimes you have to pivot. But La Maisa, you can't be successful for anything in life unless you create a real process that enables success. An incredible yisod. So same thing with Tzipora Mitzora. If you don't have the items in front of you, you don't have the ingredients in front of you, you are not going to be successful. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, what happens if you do the Shechita and the items were not there laid out in front of you? Rabbi Yaakov Amar, Hol v'Hokslam, Mitzas Asura. Rabbi Yaakov says, listen, the bird is still going to be prohibited because at the end of the day it was set aside ultimately again for the mitzvah. Fine. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Holo v'nishchata shelo kimitzvasa muteres. Rabbi Shimon says, well, listen, since the bird was shechted and it wasn't for the purpose of the mitzvah, i.e. the process did not allow for a proper shechita, therefore, again, the bird is mutter. So says the Gemara, at kan lo pligi, ela mar savar, shechita she'ina ruya shma shechita, umar savar shechita she'ina ruya lo shma shechita. So we'll say, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, really, what's their machlokes? The machlokis is what is the status of what we call the shechita she'ina ru'uya. Shechita she'ina ru'uya means a shechita that does not produce definitive results. In other words, it doesn't produce a desired. She'ina ru'uya, it's not fit, right? It's not fit. It doesn't create the desired outcome. So both say, so the machlokis between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon is, what's the status of a shechita she'ina ru'uya? One opinion says it's still a valid shechita. Second opinion says it's not a valid shechita. However, the koli ama mia mechaim la mystery. Now, bottom line, but what do you see from this? What do you see from this? Everyone is agreeing about Sai that at what point in time does the bird become prohibited? Shechita. Everyone seems to be agreeing with Rabbi Yochanan that it's only shechita that prohibits the bird, but during the lifetime, right? In other words, mishas lekicha, from the time you take the bird is not going to be prohibited. To which the Gemara says, in reality, tanoihi. In reality, Rabbi Yochanan, this whole thing is a machlokes tanoim. They turn to be Rabbi Yishmael, ne'emar machshu, Rabbi says what we saw before. Ne'emar machshu mechaper, ne'emar machshir u mechaper mi bifnim, ve'ne'emar machshu mechaper mi machutz. So it's like we saw before. There's a concept of machshir and mechaper inside the mikdash, right? So what's the example of machshir and mechaper inside the mikdash? So remember again, machshir inside the mikdash, the example of that was the asham mitzora. Asham mitzora, right? The mechaper inside the Beis HaMikdash, that's an example of saying that it tones inside the Beis HaMikdash. Gans Karbanos. And then it says, Machshir u'mechaper mibachutz. This is Machshir u'mechaper mibachutz. Now remember again, was an example ultimately again of Machshir bachutz, a Machshir outside of the Beis HaMikdash? Sipori Mitzora. An example of Mechaper outside of the Beis HaMikdash? Example? Egla Rufa. So watch this. Ma Machshir mechaper amar b'ifnim. Just like Machshir mechaper set inside the Beis HaMikdash, asaba Machshir ki mechaper. So the Machshir is treated like the Mechaper. Af machshir u'mechaper amar b'chutz. So it's Rabbi say machshir mechaper outside of the mikdash. Asabo machshir ki mechaper. Ultimately, again, we go ahead and we treat the machshir just like the mechaper. So we'll say, so again, remember, if that would be the case, then we would say that just like egla arufa is prohibited when? It's prohibited when? From the time that is designated, or more specifically, from the time that is taken down to Nachal Isan, so to Tzipori Mesorah would be prohibited as well. So what I would say, bottom line, we see a fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, which seems to be a greater machlokes Tanaim as well. Rashi says, look at Tanai, he Rashi says, Hai Tanai Svir Luki Dika Amrit, the Misra, the Tanai Rabbi Yishmael, the Allah of Machshim Mechaper, Svir Luki Misra Mechaim Ki Mechaper. So what I would say, it's a machlokes Tanaim. At what point in time does the bird pair of the Mitzorah become prohibited? Is it from the time of Shechita, or is it from the time of designation from the Kicha? So we'll say, by the way, how do we paskin? So the Rambam paskin is like Rabbi Yochanan, namely that the birds become prohibited from Shechita. Now listen, here's what's interesting. So in this respect, as much as there is a connection between Tzipori Mitzorah and Egla Rufa, we'll say, what's that lachic connection between Tzipori Mitzor and Egla Rufa? What's the connection? They're both done mibachutz, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and they're sister concepts. Egla Rufa is a mechaper. It provides atonement mibachutz, outside of the Mikdash. Tzipori Mitzorah are a machshir mibachutz. Right? Mibachutz. Both done outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So I will say, but that's kind of where the connection ends a little bit. Why? Because Lamaisa, whereas Egla Rufa becomes prohibited when? When does Egla Rufa become prohibited? From the time that it's taken down to Nachal Eson. From the time that it's taken down to the dry riverbed. So ultimately, again, Tzipori Mitzorah, we will paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, become prohibited at the time of Shechita. Incredible. So we'll say, let's analyze. Gufa. Says the Gemara Gufa. Called Tzipor Tahara Techela. We'll say three lines are from the bottom on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. Called Tzipor Tahara Techela. So the pasuk says, you could eat any kosher bird. What does this come to include? L'rabos es hamishulachas. This comes to include a bird, right? So we'll say, so remember again, you have the bird pair of the Mitzorah. One of the birds is shechted. The other bird is set aflight, right? So let go. Let's say, again, about this, can you imagine, Ruvain's a Mitzorah, he does the process, he goes ahead and he releases the bird, right? He releases the bird. Now what happens? Shimon is out trying to catch dinner, and what does he catch? The bird. Now, Bosai, Bipashlos, he has no idea, right? It doesn't, like, wear a sign on this around his neck, you know, I'm the Mishulachas, right? So, Lamaisa, again, so he catches the birds. What's halacha? It's kosher. Rabbi's a Mishulachas. Bosai, the Pasuk also says, V'zash alo tochlu mehem. Then the Pasuk also says, this is what you can't eat of them. The rabos es hashchuta. That comes to include the shechted bird. So we'll say again, same way that you're allowed to eat the bird that is set free, you're not allowed to eat the shechted bird. I think, Marcel, 1 second, how do you know which is which? The eifachana? Maybe you should switch around the drushas. And we'll say, maybe the halacha is, you're allowed to eat the shechted bird, you're not allowed to eat the bird that's sent away. Rabbi Yochanan, Mishnah, Mishnah, Mayochai, lo matzinu ba'alechayim shasurim. And we'll say, so Rashbi, Mishnah, Mayochai, Rishon Bayochai comes along and says that ultimately, again, we have never found Baalei Chaim that are Aser. Never found Baalei Chaim that are Aser. In other words, we both say, so Lemaisa, again, Lemaisa, that there's no such thing as an animal that's living that remains Aser. So therefore, it has to be that the bird that is set free ultimately, again, remains, is permitted. So Gemara says, Maskilar, Rishon Bayochai, Yitzchak, Velo, really? We never find a living animal which remains free. But the Gemara says, "Hari Mukta." We'll say on the base, "Mukta v'ne'avad." We'll say, "What about an animal? Mukta v'ne'avad means an animal that was set aside to be offered up as a carbon to avodah zara, or ne'avad, an animal that was served as avodah zara." The Baalei Chayim Minu. We'll say these are example of living animals. The Asiri, and we'll say they are prohibited. They are prohibited. So the Gemara says, "Ki asiri legavoa lehadot mishoshari." They're prohibited ultimately again for sacrificial use in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what they're prohibited. But ultimately again, lehedjot, for simple, mundane, ordinary use, they remain permitted. Okay? So maskev Rabbi Yirmiyah, hare rova v'nirva ve'edim debali chayim l'nuv asiri. We'll say, what about an animal that was, right, that was either bestialized, I don't know if that's the right word, but in other words, a person had relations with it, or ultimately again, the animal had relations with a person. Or so the animal, let's say it's simpler. An animal engaged in an act of bestiality. Such an animal, Rabbi Yosai, again, is a living animal, but yet that animal forever remains prohibited. That remains prohibited. So let's say, so ultimately, again, now the truth is, this is such an incredible yisod. Rather, so Rashbi the Gemara amends the statement. By saying the majority of living animals do not remain prohibited. So remember again, let's just take this full circle. So the Gemara was making a drasha when the pasuk said, called tzipar tahora tochelu. You can eat any kosher bird. The Gemara says, what is that coming to include? The mushlachas, the bird that is sent away. How do we know that refers to that? Because Rashbi said, because you never find living animals that remain prohibited. So therefore, it must be that the bird that is set aflight becomes permitted. So I will say, the Gemara says, I'll show you cases of living animals which remain prohibited. So I will say, the Gemara amends this statement to say, most living animals don't remain prohibited. So Rabbi Yosai, I tell you something absolutely amazing, which is, you see from here a very important yisod in life, which is, sometimes people make definitive statements. Rabbi Yosai, you ever have this? Like, I don't know, I get so that everyone is upset. Everyone this, right? Everyone. People do this all the time. It's always like, say, how gadol in life is, there are very few things that you could say in an absolute sense. Very few things that ultimately, again, you could say everyone, everything, all the time. You could say many, a lot, rove. It's an important yisod. It's also important with how we look at the world and how we look at life. So Lamais again, the Gemara says, we start out by saying, living animals are never prohibited. I don't think that's totally true. The Gemara says, you're right. Most of the time, living animals are not prohibited. Incredible. So Mar goes like to the Beit Rabbi Tana, Dharmakra, Bishilach al Pnei Asada. So we'll say, the Pasuk says, again, talking about the birds of the Mitzora. You shall go at Bishilach. You shall release it onto the field. Bishilach al Pnei Asada, release it onto the field. This is Bishilach Esat Sipor HaChaya al Pnei Asada. You take the living bird and you set it free. So the Mar says, Kisada. Masad mutares, avhai nami mutares. So we'll say the drasha is just like the field is permitted, so too this bird that is set free is also permitted. Hai sad lahak yuda asa. Does the sad come to teach us that? We'll say sad doesn't come to teach us that. So the Gemara will say, I just want to point out, this is another raya, right? The Beit Bishmal is saying, this is the proof. How do you know that the released bird is permitted? So the Gemara says, because the Torah says, you shall release the bird onto the field. Just like a field is something that is permitted, so too the released bird is permitted as well. To which the Gemara says, really, is that what Sada comes to teach me? The Gemara says, Ahumi bari lechidisanya. I need Sada to teach me something else. So the Gemara says, Sada teaches me, Shalo yamod biyafo, the Yisrkan aliyam. Sada teaches me, I will say, that you shouldn't stand at the port of Yafo and release the bird into the sea, right? Or Gvas, these are kind of midbar, or to stand in Gvas and release the bird into the desert. Or don't stand outside the city and release the bird into the city. The idea is, the Torah is giving us a process that when you release the bird, you're supposed to release the bird into the open, right? But not into the sea, and ultimately, again, not into the desert, and not into a city. Rather, las soda. So actually, soda is coming to teach me how I release this bird. The idach, the other opinion will say, imke nichtov krav soda. Pasuk just soda. My hasoda. What does hasoda teach me? Shma mina tarti. Ultimately teaches me two things. We'll say two things being number one, that just as the soda is permitted, so the birds are permitted. And number two, that when releasing the bird has to be released into a field outside of the city. Rava Amar, they will say, This is incredible. Rava says essentially all of you guys are getting too complicated about this. Remember again, what are we trying to figure out? We're trying to figure out how do I know that the bird that is set free ultimately again is permitted. Someone else catches it, it's permitted. Rava says it's very simple. Lo amra Torah shalach l'takala. Now we'll say, can you imagine if the Mitzora bird was prohibited? You know what that would mean? You know what that would mean? That would mean every single time you catch a bird, what would be the halacha? You can't eat it. Why not? Safik daraisa. Maybe this is a Mitzora bird. So Rava says, come on. Do you think that the Ribono Shel Olam would set us up with a stumbling block? You think he would set us up with a stumbling block? That at the end of the day, he would allow for something that could cause a person to inadvertently go ahead and eat something that is sanctified or that is consecrated? It doesn't make any sense. The fact that it's let go, set free into the wild, so to speak, into the Sada, which means anyone could potentially trap that. Torah would never put a stumbling block. We'll say, the Ribono Shel Olam never puts a stumbling block in front of us. The Ribono Shel Olam wants one thing and one thing only, and that is our success. And he sets us up for that success each and every day. That's all he wants. And he would never, ever, Chas V'Shalom, ever put a stumbling block in front of us. So after all the drushas, Rava says, it's not a drusha that tells me that the bird is permitted. It's logic. It's logic. It's quite fascinating. Okay? B'se'ar nazir. So I'll say, a man can't be Mekadish Omen with the hair of a nazir. That is an interesting... Sheitel. Right? The Sheitel. Right? The Se'ar of a nazir. So the Gemara says, Minol. And the Amar Kra, so the Pasuk says, Kodesh Yihyeh. Yeah. Sorry. Kodosh Yihyeh Godol Paro Se'arosho. So it says, Kodosh. So the Gemara says, Gidulo Ye Kodosh. Ima Kodesh Tofes Es Dama V'yotzil. And I'll say, well, if that's the case... If you tell me that the hair is consecrated, well, remember again, you could take a consecrated item and what? Redeem it with money, transfer the sanctity onto the money, and then the item itself becomes unconsecrated. So can you do that with hair as well? Afser nazir nami tofes es dama v'yotzei l'chulin. So can you deconsecrate hair? The Gemara says, no. Mi karinan kodesh, kodosh karinan. But the Torah doesn't describe the hair as kodesh, right? Rather, it refers to it as kodosh. We will say, what does kadosh mean? We must understand that kadosh means something that is inherently consecrated that cannot be deconsecrated. Its status cannot be lifted and shifted onto something else. Incredible. The pater chamar. We will say, furthermore, remember, firstborn donkey. So firstborn donkey, the halach is you can redeem it. If you don't redeem it, then what? Then what? Then the donkey itself is decapitated. So you can't be kadosh with the pater chamar. So we will say, our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Shimon. Why? What did Rabbi Shimon say? The sanya. Peter Hamor Asr Bana de Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda said Peter Hamor is prohibited for Ana. Rabbi Shimon Matir. Rabbi Shimon says ultimately again, it is Mutter. It is Mutter. Amrav Nachman Amrav Baravua La Acher Arifa Vedivre Akol. So we'll say the Machlokis is only before the calf is decapitated. After it's decapitated, everyone agrees that what? That it is Asr Bana. It is Asr Bana. So therefore, Rabbi says, Halacha Lamaisa. Everyone agrees the calf is aser ba'ana, and therefore again can't be used for kiddush. An incredible basar b'chalav. So what's the interesting case? What about basar b'chalav? We'll see, right? Out of all the cases we have seen, this seems to be the first one that maybe is like a little bit more relatable. Right? So l'maisa again, what about, you can't even chashim on basar b'chalav, a mixture of milk and meat, why not? Minalan. The Tamei Rabbi Shmuel, lo sivan shal gedi b'chalav imo gimo pamim. So we'll say the Torah states the prohibition of lo sivan shal gedi b'chalav imo three times. Echad isra achila, the echad isra na, the echad isra bishal. We'll say one time is to teach you that you're not allowed to eat basar b'chalav. Second time you can't get hana from basar b'chalav, and the third time you can't make. You actually can't create basar b'chalav. So the fact that basar b'chalav is asr b'ana indicates to me that I cannot use it for kiddushin. Masisin dol ki aitana. But our Mishnah does not reflect the view of the following Tana. We'll say which Tana. So the Gemara says, "Disan Rabbi Shimon Yehuda Omer Basar b'Chalav Asar b'Achilah Mutar b'Ana." So we'll say, so there is another opinion. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says that as much as you can't eat Basar b'Chalav, you are permitted to get Hana'a from Basar b'Chalav. Shneimar Ki Am Kadosh Atal Hashem Elokecha Lo Siva Shal Gadi B'Chalav Mo. The pasuk says, "You are a holy nation unto Hashem your God. Do not cook a kid in its mother's milk." Ula'avanu Omer, the Anche Kodesh Tinuli. So we'll say the Torah uses the same lashon of Kodesh. Be a holy people. And we'll say that's talking about a trefa. Basar basada trefa lo sochelu. You can't eat a trefa. Matlahalon Asr Bachila. We'll say just like the treifa is only Asr Bachila, or Mutar Banah. You can get it. We'll say, remember again, what's a treifa? Treifa is an animal that dies without shechita. So you can't eat it, but you can get hanah from it. So just like a treifa you can get hanah from, Afkan Asr Bachila Mutar Banah. So the Basar Bachalov, you can't eat it, but you are allowed to get it. So it's just actually interesting. So there is a machlokes by Basar Bachalov. Everyone will agree that you can't eat it. Everyone will also agree that you can't cook it. There's a machlokes, can you get benefit from it? So I want to say, so that's a machlokes. Our Mishnah, which says that you can't be mekadesh a woman with basar b'chalav, clearly subscribes to the opinion that says that what? You can't get hanah from it. So because you can't get hanah from it, therefore halacha l'maisa, you can't use it for kiddush. I will say, I just want to mention, just the last moment, I said this over last night, by in our last little bit of Yantif together, but I think it bears repetition. Just to finish off the show, we'll stop at the two dots today. And I will say the top of Nazayin, which Rabbi Richter gave a beautiful shir yesterday. He covered in yesterday's shir, quoted Rabbi Akiva. I will say and Rabbi Akiva, the whole machlokes of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. Fear Hashem, Shimon Ha'am Sunni, still didn't know how to darshan, yes. Rabbi Akiva darshan, yes, to include Hamidi Chachamim. How much look is there? I would say it was very striking. I mentioned this yesterday, that very striking that in yesterday's daf, a day of such sadness. On one hand, such simcha because it was Yom Tov for us, but such sadness. You quoted Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yitzchak Berdichev, Zechusa Yogin Alinu, quotes in the beginning of Parshas Noach that Rabbi Akiva was a Gilgul of Moshe Rabbeinu. Gilgul Moshe Rabbeinu. I felt it was such an amazing thing that on the day that we said goodbye to Moshe Rabbeinu, because really Simchas Torah, as beautiful as it is, there's an element of pain of saying goodbye to Moshe Rabbeinu. That on the day that we said goodbye to Moshe Rabbeinu, we have Rabbi Akiva, who's the Gilgul of Moshe Rabbeinu. And what was the godless of Rabbi Akiva? The godless of Rabbi Akiva was Akiva Nechamtanu, Akiva Nechamtanu. Rabbi Akiva was always the one who brought Nechama. Rabbi Akiva was always the one who maintained a constant sense of optimism and a constant belief in the nitzchus of Klal Yisrael. As Rabbi Akiva himself was being tortured to death by the Romans, he instilled everyone around him with a sense of optimism and a sense of hope. And Chevra, it is not an accident that the Ribono Shel Olam gave us Rabbi Akiva on Simchas Torah. It is not an accident. Let's say we feel so broken and we feel so overwhelmed and each of us feels so sad. And I would say, sometimes we think like our hishtadlus is to keep checking our phones and like see what's happening on the news. We must remain in the know about what's going on. I would say, don't use your time during these heartbreaking days to check the news ticker. That is not going to move the needle for Klal Yisrael. At all. One more story, one less story. That's not what you're doing for Klal Yisrael. And let's say, Rabbi Akiva teaches us that first of all, Klal Yisrael will always survive and Klal Yisrael will always thrive. And this will forever be a dark chapter within our people's history. I think we know that Shmini Atzeres will never be the same for Klal Yisrael. There is now a tragedy, a massacre that is associated with this day in the ongoing consciousness of Klal Yisrael. But Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. In the midst of all of this, I will say, we always have to maintain a constant sense of optimism. And we cannot lose ourselves in the black hole of despair. The coming days, and maybe even the coming weeks, we'll see funerals, we'll see levayas. And we don't know where this journey is going to go. We don't know how it's going, but one thing we do know is that Klal Yisrael always prevails. Klal Yisrael always prevails. And as I mentioned, as I started this year, each of us has the opportunity to do our part in advancing the collective agenda. Klal Yisrael, Meir Askes sent me a message today, because I messaged him last night. You know, he's delivering food to soldiers everywhere. He's just delivering food. See, the difference is in Eretz Yisrael, you could like do something biadayim. You could do something biadayim to actively help. We're going to find ways to do things also. Rabbi said, just understand. I learned Torah, I'm doing something. I daven with kavana, I'm doing something. I give tzedakah, I'm doing something. I do a chesed for another Jew, I'm doing something. We could help out in the efforts of Klal Yisrael as well. We cannot, like Rabbi Akiva whispers in our ears, do not lose yourself to despair. We can't shuffle around, eyes cast downward with a black cloud. There is a black cloud hovering over us. But you know what the incredible part is? That black cloud will dissipate. That black cloud will give way to most magnificent and incredible sunshine. And once again, we will bask in the rays of a victorious, luminescent, spiritually strong Klal Yisrael. That's why Rabbi Akiva was with us on Simchas Torah. And it's that chizuk that guides us, Rabbi Osai, in the days and in the weeks and in the months ahead. Klal Yisrael has always been strong. And Klal Yisrael will always be strong. We have to get ourselves together. We have to roll up our sleeves. We have to start producing for our people and for our nation. Each of us, in small ways and big ways, Rabbi Osai, could move the needle for Klal Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu should just give us the chizuk. Give us, the Jews of the diaspora, chizuk, certainly give Achinu B'nei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael the chizuk as well. And halavai, Rabbi Osai, we should be zocha to see beautiful days of bracha ahead. Amen. Amen.